welcome to the program. Today we are in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 21. It says, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. We're going to look at that. Stay tuned. As a 12-year-old boy, when I received Jesus as my Savior, I came across this verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:21, says, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Prove all things. That led me to 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, where it says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And I'm 12 years old, and I'm reading that. Try the spirits. Well, you know, if I, in my mind, 12 years old, you say, well, I'm going to try a Coca-Cola, I'm going to try a Pepsi-Cola, I'm going to try ginger ale, I'm just going to try, see which one of these I like. And so when I look at this word, it says, try the spirits, I think, that doesn't make much sense. But really what it's saying here is the Bible says very plainly in John 16, verse 13, when the Holy Spirit has come, called here the Spirit of Truth, He will guide you into all truth. And so I learned that the Holy Spirit and the Word of God are always in total harmony. So what it's talking about here when it says try the spirits, it's put them on trial. And how you can do that, and the only way you can do that and be sure that you're going to get the right answer, is the Word of God. However, we must also understand that the Holy Spirit, who will guide us into all truth, and the Word of God are always in total harmony. So when it says, beloved, try the spirits, it's put them on trial with the Word of God, letting the Holy Spirit be the guide, bringing us unto all truth. Now He's promised to guide us unto all truth. If we would honestly pray this message in song, teach me thy will, O Lord, teach me thy way, then obviously the Holy Spirit will teach us through the Word of God. Let's make this our prayer today.
Teach me thy will, O Lord, teach me thy way. Teach me to know thy word, teach me to pray. And free, Lord, let thy blessed face shine upon me. Heal thou sin's every smart, dwell thou within my heart, grant that I power, teach me thy love, teach me to know each hour thou art above. Teach me as seems best in thee to find sweet
breast, leaning upon thy breast, all doubt remove. Teach thou my lips to sing, my heart to praise. Be thou my Lord and King through all my days. Teach thou my soul to cry, be thou, dear Savior, nigh. Teach me to live, to die, saved by thy grace.
Reading again 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 21, where it says, "Prove all things, hold fast to that which is good." That phrase, "all things," is recorded in the Word of God 220 times. And so the Bible again says, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. So we should be able to prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. If we're sincere and willing to admit we might be wrong about some things we thought about, but there's a lot of issues. The issue is separation. The Bible says the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. We can know the truth about separation, whether it comes to separation from the world or separation from brothers who Christians who are walking disorderly. We can come to the truth on that. The subject of repentance, that's a big subject right now. The Bible says, and Jesus said, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." I don't know why we're even discussing it. What part of that is too difficult to understand? "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." The subject of apostasy, or the subject of the return of Christ, or heaven or hell, any of these things, the Bible says we can prove all things, and we can hold fast to that which is good. To hold fast, Hebrews 2:1 says, "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." Boy, we're living in a let-them-slip age today. We call fundamentalism today what we called fundamentalism 10 years ago, and what we call fundamentalism today has nothing in common. We are so far gone down the road to apostasy. We think we're fundamental because we have it on our stationery. The sign out front says fundamental. We don't even know what that means anymore. We need to hold fast to that which is good, lest at any time we let them slip. Having a hold on that which is good. Good. Good is having the qualities required for a particular purpose. And we're in this world for a particular purpose. We read in 1 Thessalonians 1:1, Paul and Silvanus and Timothy, unto the church of the Thessalonians. And so we need to keep in mind here that he's writing to the average Christian. Some books of the Bible, like 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, they're written to the pastor. This book is written to the Christians in the church. Now, he's a Christian too, so he's going to have to take care to make sure he's doing what it says to do here. But you're a believer in church, to you, he says, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we let them slip. Holding on to that which is good, and that which is good is having the qualities required for a particular purpose, and we are all here in this world for a particular purpose. Ephesians 5:10 says we need to be proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. So 1 Thessalonians 5:20 says prove all things. Here it says prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. There's no excuse for us not doing that. Now the next verse says abstain from all appearances of evil. Abstain from all appearances of evil. Now, just because someone tells us to do that, are we going to do it? Paul says, abstain from all appearances of evil. Okay, I'm going to do that, and I won't be looking like it's appearing to do evil anymore. Well, like everything else in the Word of God, if we're going to do what it's saying to do, it's going to be a byproduct of us getting into the Word of God and studying to show ourselves approved unto God and finding out, all right, Lord, for me today, what does this mean to abstain from all appearances of evil? The 1 Thessalonians 5:23, the next verse says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Paul says in the very next verse, first he says, abstain from all appearances of evil, and then he says, I pray God, your spirit and soul and body will be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So if we're going to abstain from all appearance of evil, what Paul is really praying is that these individual Christians there at Thessalonica, or you and I in our churches for that matter, would get into the Word of God and say, Lord, what does this mean for me today? 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, faithful is he that calleth you, and he will do it. Do what? Do what he said in the previous verse, that your spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only way that that is going to be a reality, if we get into the Word of God and praying, Lord, what does it mean for me today to be abstaining from all appearances of evil? That's going to be something different for every one of us. But the fact is, do we really want to know? If we could skip over that verse, say, well, that's a neat verse. No, it's a whole lot more than a neat verse. It's a command from God, and if we're going to learn how to do that, we're going to have to study to show ourselves approved unto God and let him lead us into all truth. And now Paul concludes this little letter to these people here at Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians 5:25, and he says, brethren, pray for us. Then he says, 26, greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. 27, I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. And finally, 27, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Now he said, brethren, pray for us. We will conclude this by going through Paul's ministry as recorded in the book of Acts. Pray for us, he said. His life was threatened at Damascus, Acts 9. His life was threatened again in Jerusalem. He was persecuted and run out of Antioch and Pisidian, Acts 13. He faced possible stoning in Iconium. They went on to Lystra in Acts 14, where he was stoned and left on the side of the road for dead. In Acts 15:39, he lost his very close friend and co-worker Barnabas. They went their separate ways. That had to be hard. Acts 16, he was beaten with rods and imprisoned at Philippi, and then he was cast out of Philippi. His life was threatened here in Thessalonica in Acts chapter 17. He was forced out of Berea in Acts 17. He was mocked in Athens. He was taken before the judgment seat in Corinth in Acts 18. He was opposed by the silversmiths at Ephesus in Acts 19. He was plotted against by the Jews in Greece in Acts 20, and he was apprehended by the mob in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 21, verse 30. And then in Acts 22, verse 24, he was arrested and detained by the Romans, and he barely escaped being scourged at that time. He was rescued from the Sanhedrin mob there in Acts chapter 23. He was assassinated there was a plot against him to assassinate him in Acts 23. 2 years he was imprisoned in Caesarea. He was shipwrecked 3 times. He suffered a snake bite there in Acts 28. He was imprisoned again in Acts chapter 28. He said, brethren, pray for us. If we look at 2 Corinthians 11:21, we read that we talked here about his reproach, and he goes on to say in verse 23, he was in stripes above measures, in prison more frequent, and close to death very often. Of the Jews, he was beaten 5 times with 40 stripes, save one. 3 times he was beaten with rods. He was stoned once, he said. Thrice he suffered shipwreck, and a night in a day he was in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of water and robbers, in perils of his countrymen, in perils of the heathen, in the city, in the country, in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils amongst false brethren. In 27 he says, in weariness and painfulness, in watching often, in hunger and thirst, and fasting, cold and naked. Besides those things, he said, I had the care of all the churches. And he says, brethren, pray for us. And Paul's response to all that, Acts 20:24, he said, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify of the grace of God. All of us have received a ministry of the Lord. You might be a grandmother, a grandfather, a pastor, a deacon, a father, a mother. It doesn't matter. We're all here for a purpose. And what we need to do is quit whining and start shining and say, none of these things are going through right now move me. Neither count I my life dear to myself, that I might finish my course with joy. And Paul did. We read in 2 Timothy 4, verse 7, just before he died, he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And so as we conclude this book, let's make this our prayer. We've just listened to this message and song, but did we really? Let's make it our prayer. Teach me thy will, O Lord. Teach me thy way.
Teach me thy will, O Lord, teach me thy way. Teach me to know thy word, teach me to pray. Whatever seems best to thee, that be my thou drawest me closer each day. Teach me thy wondrous grace, boundless and free. Lord, let thy blessed face shine upon me. Sins every smart, dwell thou within my heart, grant that I never part, Savior, from thee. Teach me by pain thy power, teach me by love, teach me to know each hour thou art above. Teach me as seemeth best in thee to find sweet rest, leaning upon thy breast, all doubt remove. Teach thou my lips to sing, my heart to praise. Be thou my Lord and King through all my days. soul to Christ. Be thou, dear Savior.